Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And joining me now is sports broadcaster extraordinaire Grant Boone. Grant works for NBC, CBS, ESPN. He's a play-by-play host for LPGA tournaments on the Golf Channel. What a pleasure to welcome back Grant Boone. Good morning, Grant.
Annie, the pleasure is all mine. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I adore... First off, I have to say this, how committed you are to women's golf. It is truly outstanding, my friend.
Well, this is what I do. It's what I love. The job itself is the best in the world. I mean, I grew up wanting to be a sportscaster and I get the chance to do it. And then to be, part of a tour, this traveling circus that goes all over the world and Wales this week. And it's a real joy. It's less of a job than a joy.
I'd love to ask you how you've seen it, because you've been doing this for a long time. How has the women's game in your eyes progressed through the years? What do you notice the most?
Yeah, the biggest thing you notice are all the different flags to the left of people's names. When I got out of the LPGA tour for the first time, it was the year 2000, and my very first tournament was in March, and Kari Webb beat Annika Sorenstam at a playoff, and it was electric. They were the two best players in the world, and it was really at that time when we were about a decade into the European invasion. It's not that there were no players from outside the U.S. before 1990-ish. Laura Davies won the U.S. Open in 1987, not far away from you in Plainfield, New Jersey. And that really ushered in the European wave. There had been a couple of players, the great Sally Little from South Africa, and Chaco Higuchi had come from Japan and won. There had been a couple of other players, Ayako Okamoto in the 80s. Really, that brought the European wave in. And Kari Webb came over. She followed in the footsteps of the great Jan Stevenson, who was a major champion. So that was 2000. Well, then, Sayre Park, 1998, right before I got out there, she had that breakout year as a 20-year-old. She won a couple of majors. She won five times. And all of a sudden, here comes Korea over the next 25 years. And Korea dominated the 2000 and tens. Look at that decade, 2010 to 2020, they won as many majors as all the other countries combined. But now what you see is China, Thailand. You're seeing players from all over the globe compete, and all it's done, it really even way more so than men's golf. In men's golf, you still have largely Americans dominating, but in women's golf, so many countries have devoted resources, and the U.S. actually, under Mike Wan of the USGA, they've now begun their own junior developmental team, trying to keep pace, actually, with some of these other countries. They've put so many resources into women's golf that you now see, when you look at any leaderboard on the LPGA, you're going to see, you know, a broad cross-section of players from across the world.
Sure.
And I love
it's
it.
Truly
I love trying to say their name.
Affair.
It is.
I mean, the Japanese have done so well as well. Well, before we get into the leaderboard,
yeah, they really are right now the dominant country, the one that's come alongside the Americans. The Japanese have risen. They've got the leader this week here at the tournament.
Right. Well, before we get into the leaderboard, you know, the AIG Women's Open, it's the fifth and final major on the women's calendar. Why five majors for the women, Grant? I mean, the men have four. So you have the Chevron Championship, the U.S. Women's Open, the Women's PGA Championship, the Evian Championship, and the AIG Women's Open. Why five?
Yeah, great question. And it does seem a bit counterintuitive. We think of the Grand Slam, which is, you know, in bridge or in baseball. Yeah, that's four. You know, it seems like it ought to be four. The reality is, in women's golf, because it's always been a league that's been scratching and clawing for its piece of the pie, of sports, you know, viewership, they haven't had the luxury, the resources to be able to just dictate, you know, these four are going to be our Grand Slam events in perpetuity. There were years in which the Western Open, the Title Holders Championship were considered majors back in the 50s and 60s. And then there were some years where there were literally two major championships, the LPGA Championship and the U.S. Women's Open. And then along came what we all, a lot of us of our vintage would call the Dinosaur out there in Mission Hills in the desert in California. And that was a major championship that became the Chevron. It moved to Houston, the Women's British Open, which is the AIG Women's Open. It became a major in 2001 in Canada. They've had a great championship for 50 plus years. It was a major for several years. A lot of it comes down to dollars and sponsors. And AIG has been an incredible sponsor. A fifth major was added in 2013. It was somewhat controversial. The Evian Championship, which had been this, it was the highest paying event on the ladies LPGA tour of the non-majors. And they said, we really want to be considered a major championship. Well, the LPGA, they have the authority to be able to designate we're counting this as a major. And at the time, Annie, the other three, U.S. Women's Open was always going to be solid because it was the USGA. But the other three major championships were on very shaky footing. And Mike Wann, who was a couple of years into his time as commissioner, he wasn't sure, you know, what the future held, and he had the risk of the richest non-major leaving the LPGA Tour if they didn't, you know, if they weren't given major championship status. And there was a reason to give them status. You know, they had committed themselves to the LPGA, so that's why we have five. It's a little cumbersome, but at the end of the day, Evian has produced the best finishes, the best major winners of any of the major championships. And here's how I'll conclude by saying this, Ann. Those of us who've been around a little longer, some say, well, is Evian really a major? Almost everybody who plays the LPGA these days started their careers after it became a major in 2013. So guess what they think? They think of it as a major. That's all they've ever known, is that Evian's a major. So there you go.
Well, now you know the rest of the story.
The rest of it, as Paul Harvey would say.
That's right. Yes. Great explanation. I'm appreciating your educating the audience on that. Okay, very tight leaderboard, 17 players within six shots of the lead. And as we mentioned, Mayu Yamashita with a one-shot lead. Although yesterday, she turned, 24? It was her birthday yesterday, but she shot a plus 274.
It was her birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, she turned your age, 24. and, you know, here's the thing. By the way, I can't even dream that far back. But, you know, Miyu is a rookie on the LPGA Tour. She's from Japan. By the way, the names are one of my favorite parts of the LPGA. In Japan, they would say Miyu Yamashita. That'd be closer to it. But in English, you know, we're more inclined to say Yamashita. That's kind of more intuitive. It's how it looks. So It's like we say A-Lim Kim. Well, she says more at M Kim. But anyway, we make adjustments here in America. And so Miyu is a rookie. She's, as she said, turned 24. She's second in the Rookie of the Year standing. She's had some great finishes in major championships. She'd never had the lead until going into the round, after any round. Now, granted, she's only played in probably 20 events, 20 plus events, even before she played the LP, before she was a member. So she's very young in her LPGA career, but she's won 13 times on her home tour in Japan. Three of those were majors on that tour, which we don't count, you know, for women's golf or LPGA, but they mattered to her, I promise you, you know, because that tour called it a major. So she won three of those. She's used to playing in high leverage, big events. She made a late run last year to make it to the Olympic Games, and there was a ton of pressure to be one of the two representatives of Japan, and she almost medaled. She came very quick, got to the last hole in Paris with a good chance to get a medal. But this is the first time she's been in this position out in front. And here's what's key. And every single player, this is men's golf, women's golf, whatever, every single player would love to have a big lead going into the weekend or going into Sunday. There's not a single player who would not want to be leading by a big margin, 3, 4, 5, 6 sure. shots. But it is so hard. Here's the deal. If let's say Miyu, who leads by one, as you noted, let's say she shoots 69 or 70 today and loses by one. No one's going to say she blew it unless she four putts the last hole. If you're up 4 or 5 and you lose it, then everyone's going to say, oh my gosh, they had a 5-shot lead and they lost. It's a weird dynamic. It's like in baseball, you know, when you don't put the closer in until there's a 3-run lead, you know, so they can get the save. There's a weird feeling when you're leading by a larger amount. In one sense, you feel like you've got pressure. Some wiggle room, but oh my gosh. And then because you know, only one outcome here is acceptable, and that's for me to win. So
that's right.
What happened yesterday was she was up 5.
Like a Cameron Young situation at the Winter
that's
Championship.
Very much
he has a 5-shot lead, and he hasn't won yet on the PGA Tour.
And I'm telling you, rarely is the case when the player who's in that position just cruises, where they never give up that big lead. More than likely, that lead of his will at least be threatened. He may go on to win, and I'm pulling for him, the Sleepy Hollow kid from up there.
That's right.
But let me just say this real quickly. Yesterday, Miyu, who led by 3, there was only one player within 6 of her going into yesterday's round. Now, as you noted, there are 16 players who are within 6 shots of her. And let me tell you something. If you're someone who loves to get up early and watch a British Open with wind and rain and elements, do it now. It's on USA Network. It's going to switch over to NBC at noon Eastern time, but it's already on USA Network, and it is howling right now. The average score is 77. It's nasty, and all that means is I think this thing is wide open. You've got Andrea Lee from L.A.
Especially with those
she's
elements.
From Southern California. Oh, it's literally 4 or 5 under par could win, and Miyu is 9 under at the moment. But it's going to be a battle of the golf course, but also yourself, your mind, the elements.
Anything
I think
happen.
We're in for something wild today, yeah.
Grant, let's talk Lodi Wode on July 6th. Lottie.
Unbelievable.
Lottie. She's she was an amateur on July 6th. She won the Women's Irish Open at Carlton House by 6 shots. A week later, July 13th, she finishes 3rd.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At the Evian Championship. And that's where she earned her LPGA Tour card, right? And then she turns professional and wins her very first pro tournament, the Scottish Women's Open. I thought for sure she'd be, you know, way up there on the leaderboard this week. But, hey, there's
all. Yeah, and yeah, she's at, and she is
she's
three
at minus
under.
Three right now, yeah.
She starts, believe me, I'm not putting it past her. She's six shots back with this nasty weather.
Oh, yeah.
Not putting it past her. Lottie went to Florida State collegiately. She was a good junior player in England coming up, but she really blossomed at Florida State under Amy Bond, the head coach there. She won the Augusta National Women's Amateur and didn't just win it, Annie, but she birdied 17 and 18 to come from one back
there.
To walk off.
I remember that. Three birdies in her final four holes.
You win at Augusta National, but to do it like that, a walk-off, like Rory did this year, special. And then this year, she'd had a good year, but she had the lead going into the final round there at Augusta National, trying to go back-to-back, struggled a bit, really missed a bunch of putts that you kind of thought, what happened? Lottie's supposed to win. Well, then she has a decent NCAA championship, but top 10, but didn't win. And then all of a sudden she goes and plays, gets a sponsor invite to play the Women's Irish Open, which was a ladies European tour event, not an LPGA, but a ladies European tour event. She wins it, doesn't just win it. She wins by six, blows the field away. And that field, by the way, included Charlie Hull, who's contending this week, Madeline Sackstrom, who went to LSU from Sweden. So it had a bunch of LPGA players in it, and she blew the field away. Then she goes to the major at Evian. She leads on Sunday on the back nine and finishes one shot out of a playoff as an amateur. Well, the LPGA just started this new system where if you accrue enough points, it's a little bit like the PGA Tour's university ranking, where if you that's college-based. This is more just amateur-based. If you accrue enough points by doing things like being number one in the world in the amateur ranks, if you win the Augusta National event, if you do some other things, you can accrue enough points and earn your LPGA card. So that third place finish got her LPGA card. That got her into the Scottish Open, which is an LPGA event, and she won that one, as you said. So
what a star!
She is as great as Nelly Korda is, as great as Nelly is, the biggest name in women's golf, at least for the month of July. We got to say. There's really no one else, Annie, who's now Rose Zhang a couple of years ago, you might remember there at Liberty
absolutely.
National. Remember, she turned pro and she won her first event. I was doing that event and we were scouring the record books because we couldn't find another player for 70 years who had ever won their very first pro start. You just don't do that in golf, men's or women.
In New Jersey.
I still can't. Correct.
Yep.
Liberty National.
And I
still don't think we can find a man who's won his professional debut, not as an amateur, but you turn pro and then you win your first start.
It
just doesn't happen. Done it, and now she's 24th in the world, and I'm telling you, I'm not counting her out today. I'm not counting her out yet. Six back and in terrible weather.
Wouldn't that be incredible? What a comeback. Okay, quickly, because we only have like a minute or two left. Nelly Korda has been number one for 71 straight weeks. That could change, right? She could lose her top ranking.
She could. Yeah, Nelly at the moment is two over par, and Gino Titikun of Thailand, who's just 22 years old, is about three shots ahead of her. So Gino, who's just a percentage points behind Nelly, could become number one. Nelly's had a good year. Her scoring average is lower than it was last year when she won seven times, but she just has not played as well on the weekend as she has needed to. And it just hasn't all come together. I'm not counting out Nelly winning once or twice or more this year, but it just hasn't come together like it did last year. And a lot of that's just how she's played on the weekend. So yeah, Nelly, who's been number one for 108 weeks and for 60 straight weeks, could well lose that ranking. And I think the bigger thing for her is it's less the number one ranking. She just wants to win again, and it's not going to happen this week. And you know, we'll see her again coming up back in the States. Portland, Canada, and Boston are the next three events on the LPGA schedule.
I mean, last year, five straight wins, seven wins overall. She's winless this season, but she has made the cut in all 12 tournaments she has played, which is not easy to do with all that depth out there, as you know, Grant Boone. Quickly, last question. The new LPGA commissioner, Craig Kesler. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Love him. He is the Energizer Bunny. He started July 15th, and technically, officially, he'd already been working behind the scenes for 6 weeks. He comes from the PGA of America. Before that, he was with Top Golf. He's got tons of connections within the golf world, and that's what the LPGA needs. The LPGA doesn't need sympathy. What they need are people who can share their vision for how great this tour is and understand how great these players are. And you need people like AIG, Peter Zaffino, the American magnate who's really built AIG into a global superpower, and they've latched on to the Women's Open and taken it to new heights. They tripled the purse size since 2019 when they took over. That's who Craig Kesler needs. We've got to get more events in the New York's metropolitan area. We've got the one there at the Mizuho. There are too many great courses up there. We got to get back there for more. The product is there. His job is to parlay that into more people realizing how great it is.
To be continued, Grant Boone. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for getting up early for us.
A delight. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks so much. All right, coming up, we're going to shift gears from the LPGA to the PGA Tour and talk with the coach of breakout star Chris Gotterup. Jason Birnbaum is the director of golf for Manhattan Woods in West Nyack, New York, a Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, and Golf Digest Best in State teacher in New York. But first, let me tell you that IBKUL, Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women, offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best. Use promo code AND20 for 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkul.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.